son is voting for Jack, 'cause he's got what all the rest lack. Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track, 'cause he's got...
Welcome to episode 3 of the Kennedy Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Allison, and thank you so much for joining me today for this episode. Guys, I just have to take a second and thank you all so much for all the follows and the likes and the comments and the positive just praises that you guys have given me. I can't even thank you enough for all of them. I've gotten some really good reviews, and it's just been so kind, so I just appreciate it, and please keep it up. It really helps me out when you guys rate and subscribe and review and follow and everything that I just said. It just really means a lot to me, so I just can't even express it enough. So thank you, thank you, thank you. This is such a fun community that we've made out of Kennedy fans, and I can't wait to continue to grow it. If you're not already, make sure you're following my Instagram, Kennedy Dynasty, at KennedyDynasty. And also, I've created a new shop because I felt like I always wanted Kennedy merch and couldn't find it anywhere, like stuff that I would actually want to wear. There was a couple things from Kennedy Library I liked, but that's really all. So I was like, why not make my own? I really like vintage inspired shirts and mugs and things like that. And so I have a background in marketing and graphic design. And I thought, like I said, I would just make my own. So I did. And I've got a shop. It's shop.spreadshirt.com/Kennedy Dynasty, or you can find it on the link in my bio on my Instagram. That's my website link, and it's there. Go check it out. I really think there's some stuff that you would really like. Just cool stuff. Different campaign inspired things. I've even got one shirt that has the High Hopes record on it. I don't know, just things that I thought were cool. So I think you would think it was cool too. So check it out. Right now you can get everything in the shop 15% off for a few more days. So hurry up and take a look. Okay, so today's guest is Caroline Pryor. Her husband, Ryan Pryor, was one of my prior guests, pun intended. I definitely thought that out beforehand, but that's fine. Anyway, she is fantastic, so smart, so fun, and she loves Bobby Kennedy, and so do I. So I'm so excited to talk about him with her and kind of deep dive into a lot of different things about him. So here we go. I hope you enjoy. Okay, everyone, here I have Caroline Pryor. Say hi to everybody.
Hello.
And I just want you to tell a little bit about yourself first before we get started, so go ahead.
Okay, well, I live in Memphis, Tennessee, a thriving town. Not right now, but in general it is. And I work for a nonprofit that works in the Mississippi Delta. I write grants and ask the government for money. And sometimes they give it to us.
That's cool.
So that's the dream.
I love it. I love it. I love it. What's your degree and stuff in?
Absolutely nothing relating to my job. My undergraduate degree is in French and International Studies, and my graduate is an MBA, and I use neither of them in my day-to-day life.
Hey, it's still cool. Still good
it's
to
awesome.
Have. You know what? Even though I don't use that bachelor degree on the wall in my closet, literally hanging in a picture frame in my closet because I didn't have anywhere else for it. But I look at it and I'm proud of it. So at least I have it. That's all that matters. Well, we are going to deep dive into Bobby Kennedy today because we both discovered a few weeks ago that we both actually really like him. So that was an exciting discovery. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Okay, so first I figured we'd talk about what you personally love about Bobby. So go ahead with that.
So it's actually... one of the things that I find, like, super interesting about Bobby, which, as we were saying earlier, like, I think I find him so interesting because he's, you know, pretty not sexy. Like, he's just, he, you know, solid guy, solid ideas. But one of the things I love about him is, so I work for an organization that works in the Mississippi Delta. And one of the seminal moments for Bobby Kennedy that, like, kind of an eye-opening experience for him was when he was a senator, he took a congressional trip down to the Mississippi Delta and, like, was faced with the absolutely crushing poverty that exists there. And it really opened his eyes to not only poverty issues, but also civil rights issues. He was guided around by prominent civil rights leaders. And, like, he said to an aide, like, I've been to third world countries and I, like... this is worse than that. Like, how can nobody know that this exists in this country? Like, how do they not see this? And so I think, I mean, in my work, I'm faced with the poverty in the Delta every day, which, I mean, has improved since, you know, 1966, but is still just extremely pervasive. And so, the things that I work for every day are trying to alleviate some of that suffering as well. So I really think it's a cool anecdote about him. I mean, all of his work with civil rights and all of it is just super inspiring. I live in Memphis. Obviously, I have we have a deep history of the civil rights struggle. Obviously, Kennedy's speech after Martin Luther King died that he gave while he was campaigning in Indianapolis, is credited with being, he wrote it in the 10 minutes on the car ride over because he had to ditch his planned speech and they were telling him, don't give this speech, don't go to this rally tonight because they're afraid there are going to be riots. But it's a moment of great poise, and go listen to it sometime.
Yeah. I actually need to. I don't actually think I've heard that speech, so I need to.
It's great.
Yeah, and that, the trip you were talking about where he was saying that he's never seen third world countries that bad, isn't that the one, I feel like I remember reading about that, and then he went home and told his children, he almost looked at them and was like, you have no idea the privilege that you have. He was almost devastated seeing how privileged they were and wanted them to understand that they had that, and it was hard for them to get, he always wanted them to be able to get outside of their little bubble to see what was going on around him. And I actually commend he and Ethel both for that, because I feel like they really exposed their children to everything around.
Yeah, and I think that's, so, I mean, incredibly admirable of them, especially, obviously, the family that he came from. Can you be more privileged than being a Kennedy growing up, right? And so for him to have such a strong desire for his kids to be outside of that and to see outside of that, I think is just incredibly remarkable.
Yeah, me too. Let's see. What's another question that I have here? Okay, so do you believe that there was a side to him, though, that many people turn a blind eye to?
So it's really interesting. When he was a kid, they all, called him a runt because he was, smaller than his brothers. And his, grandmother was concerned that he was a sissy. And obviously, Joe was not – he was not the favorite of Joe's sons. Joe is afraid that he was too soft. And so he, Bobby developed this hardened persona to, kind of make up for that. And it's, assumed, or people say, and I think it's probably true, that, that was all a cover-up. He was a much softer person, is evidenced by his, people who were on that trip to Mississippi with him were, the people he met with in Mississippi were surprised to find him to be, not the persona that he was, in politics. He was asking poignant questions, and he was more reserved and willing to sit back and listen, and, none of the hardness and ruthlessness that he often displayed was evident there. So I think he had many different sides, and certainly had to adapt within his family to differentiate himself. And obviously he was very good at getting things done and being ruthless. But I think underneath that, he was a very soft person.
Yeah, I agree. And I almost feel like he was ruthless because he was soft. It's because he had that, he had more tender of a heart than I feel like a lot of the Kennedy family members had. He kind of stepped outside of the image for 5 minutes to realize that there was stuff going on around him. That's why when he campaigned, he obviously campaigned for the civil rights, wanting to end the Vietnam War and bring Americans home safely, and wanting, to take care of all the poverty. He couldn't believe that it was here. And I feel like, although I commend the Kennedys, many of the family members, for doing a lot for our country, I feel like Bobby had a heart to really get into the real American household and help them over time. So I feel like he was so passionate about those things and fighting organized crime. I mean, seeing him, he was just brutal interrogating all of these people that he knew were bad and he wanted to change, and he was ruthless in trying to get that done. But it's because he had that kind of heart, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I totally agree with you there.
I agree. I think there's this funny quote I just was looking at when I was like researching for this, like a reporter like commented to him once on his ruthlessness, and he was like, "Who said that? When I find whoever said that, I'm going to kill him."
That is funny. And you know, there's so many like rumors that he had people killed all the time anyway, so it's very interesting that he would do that.
I know.
I don't know if like, I believe any of that. I've never researched into it enough. But
I know. Well, I mean, I was like, the rumors that he attempted to have Fidel Castro killed, like,
I know.
I mean, you can go deep into that rabbit hole.
I know. It's a dangerous place to be in that rabbit hole. And I love Bobby and I want to keep loving him, so I'm just not going to do the research. Oh, that's so funny. Do you think that he would have gone on to be one of the great, amazing president that everyone thinks that he would have been, or not so much?
I don't know. And I also, I mean, frankly, it's uncertain and possibly unlikely that he would have even gotten the nomination because, like, he had lost in Oregon. He had won in California, but, like, by a narrow margin. So, I don't know. I think if he had gone on to be the candidate, it would have been difficult for him because he had not necessarily endeared himself to people in the South. Obviously, mm-hmm. organized labor was not a fan of his because he was ruthlessly going after the Teamsters and Jimmy Hoffa. And so, I mean, blue collar workers adored him and he had like a lot of good support there. But that being said, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to speculate like what his presidency would have looked like if he would have been able to achieve the things that he wanted to do, the campaign promises he was making. And, it, you know, we might look, we probably do look back at it with these rose colored glasses, similarly to how we look back at Jack Kennedy's presidency, because mm-hmm. it's the promise of something that's unfulfilled. It fills you with this, you know, desire to see it in a beautiful light and talk about what could have been.
Yeah, but true. And I agree with that. And, you know, I was actually wrong about something that you just said, because I thought a while ago until today when I was doing some research for this too, I thought that obviously he was going to win the nomination, like he was going to mm-hmm. go on to be president. There's no way he would beat Nixon and all this kind of stuff. But then, like you said, I guess I hadn't taken into account the fact that he was not popular in the South whatsoever. He definitely, you know, did not appeal to a lot of white voters in that time. So, yeah, that's true. I guess I just always assumed like he would have automatically been president, but no, he probably would have had a really difficult time being nominated. So there's no mm-hmm. doubt about that. So that is very interesting. And I have to agree with you too. The things that he promised to fulfill were huge feats, especially for 68. So it's like, you think automatically because he did pass away that he would have obviously accomplished those things, but there's really no way to say. Of course, now people look back and be like, well, he'd definitely be better than Nixon. But at the time, you know, I mean, who knows if he could have accomplished the three things and more beyond the civil rights and the poverty and the Vietnam, all those kinds of things, beyond all that, mm-hmm. who knows what he actually could have accomplished, you know? So it's very interesting.
And I mean, you know, unlikely that he would have had a whole lot of support even from within his own party.
Sure.
So
And that was my last question actually was, do you think his campaign promises were attainable for that time period? So I guess we kind of just answered that. I guess it would just depend, you know, on what he could actually get done. But I mean, unfortunately, we'll never actually know those things. Let's get into, what do you think about his assassination? Have you ever like looked into any conspiracy theories with it, anything like that?
Listen, I love a good conspiracy theory. I mean, I could go on for days. I haven't admittedly looked into as many conspiracy theories surrounding his assassination mm-hmm. because the JFK ones are just so much meatier. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's this like, there's this speculation about a girl in a polka dot dress.
Yes, I listened to a podcast that talked about that, and mm-hmm. it was crazy to listen to all the ins and outs of that specific story. I can't remember all the ins and outs of it now, but I remember being like, oh my gosh, mind blown. So yeah, mm-hmm. that's crazy.
Yeah, and like that's so specific. I love a good, you know, highly specific details like, mm-hmm. there's this girl and she was in a polka dot dress and everybody, like tons of different people saw her and she was like arm in arm with somebody else saying, we killed Robert Kennedy, we killed Robert Kennedy. So
it's crazy. I mean, it's so
crazy.
You
feel like there's got to be something there.
Okay, well then what do you think, I got to jump to it because you said it, what is your thought on the JFK assassination. What do you think? Who was it?
I think there was a second gunman.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it strongly.
Me too.
And I think that Oswald's assassination was a cover-up, obviously. I don't know if I'm not willing to commit myself strongly to an actual theory, but I do believe those things.
I struggle with that too. I think that it was, it had to be organized crime related, mafia related, definitely second gunman in the grassy knoll. Have you been to Dallas? Mm-hmm.
I have not.
Okay, well, I went last year, and I was actually able to, like, see all the things that I had looked at for so long and stuff. It happened in that grassy knoll. Because if you see the footage, I mean, it's so obvious. It's beyond obvious that it came from that direction. I just can't even fathom how they convinced the American, even one single American person, that it did not come from there. But who knows? It's crazy. I feel like so many different arguments have really good arguments, you know? There's so much just evidence that could back up so many different theories. So it's so hard. That's what makes it fun, though, about conspiracy theories. As tragic That's and true. Horrible as it is, it's entertaining to read about a conspiracy theory, regardless of what it is, really.
And, like, people put so much effort into these things.
Absolutely. And, like, people dedicate their lives to it.
Yeah. And they compile, like, extremely compelling evidence.
Mm-hmm.
There's
a man that sits, like, at Dealey Plaza and literally sits there and, like, hands out, like, well, you have to buy them, but they're DVDs that he, like, tries to educate people on what he thinks happened. And he's dedicated his life to it. He like, sits out there every single day of his life to tell people what actually happened and how the government hid it and everything. So
that's amazing. Hey, oh my God.
He's doing it. He is really dedicated to it. So I love it. I like that's talking incredible. To him. It was fun.
See, that's the thing. I want to believe so passionately in something like that. That's what I need to find. I need to find my conspiracy theory that I'm going
to Same. And then I want to solve it, though. That's the problem.
Yes. I don't like not knowing. Like, so
I always have this thought, like, wouldn't that be amazing if I, like, cracked the code on some huge thing? Like, what if you were that person? Like, what a legend that you put it all together and you get, I don't know. Pipe dream.
I talked that up to National Treasure, and it's same. Amazing sequel, oh my gosh. National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets.
I literally watched that last week. I'm not kidding you.
I love those movies.
That's like my favorite movie ever. And actually, speaking of that, because I watched it so recently and I remember this scene verbatim, when they're flipping through the Book of Secrets and he's like, wait, the JFK assassination. And Nick Cage tells him that they have to keep flipping. I was like, there's no way in hell I would keep flipping. Like, that's the one thing everyone in the world would have to land on. That makes no sense. You could take 2 seconds to read what it was in the stinking book. Oh, that drives me nuts. Anyway, this is a fictional film we're talking about here.
It's ridiculous. I believe in it so passionately, though.
I do, too. I had a little side story. So sorry to all the people that are probably like, what the heck? But I had a boyfriend when I was like 11 or 12 that from the first movie, you know how he like put oil or something on paper and then like a lemon juice and then like lit it on fire to show juice. He caught his room on fire trying to do that. We were like 11 or 12.
Oh my God.
I know. He was like, I really thought
he was
it would
a
work.
Believer.
He was. And I, you know what? I commend that passion. We didn't work out. Unfortunately. Unfortunately, the romance fizzled. But
he was too passionate about other things.
You know, he made it work. So anyway, I guess that's all I have today. Oh, that's entertaining. No, but eventually I want to deep dive into certain things. This was just my Bobby Kennedy, like, initial podcast, kind of just talking about kind of the surface things that he stood for and stuff. Of course, I'll have episodes that come that dive really deep into certain topics with him. And I would love for you to come back and talk about those things when I, you know, just like really, really
here,
detailed.
I'm on a campaign to make Bobby Kennedy sexy again.
Hey, let's do it. I'm
here for.
I am here for it. I'll put it on a t-shirt.
Great. Yes, this could be one of the merchandise opportunities.
It could. That's a great idea. We just gave it away. We shouldn't have given it away. No, but thank you.
Take it back.
I know. I edit that out. No, thank you so much for joining me today. And this was so much fun. And
this was fun, yeah.
And I hope you all enjoy this one. And like I said, we'll deep dive later into some more specific topics. But I hope you enjoy this overview of Bobby Kennedy and what we think about him. And I will see you next week on Kennedy Dynasty Podcast.
Come on and vote for Kennedy. Vote for Kennedy. Keep America. just keep throwing a canary. He just keeps throwing a canary. He just keeps throwing.